Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior and our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. What kind of Christian do you prefer being? Do you prefer the kind of Christian who uses the words of God, reads the Bible, gathers for worship, sings the songs, appreciates the sacrament? Or does it please you more to be out in the world, helping the poor, listening to people's problems, guiding them, solving problems to make things better? Those two aspects of our Christian life are what you might call liturgy and service. In the Greek, liturgia and diakonia, from which we get the words liturgy and deacon. Those two aspects of the Christian life are taught in the Acts lesson that we are looking at today. Acts chapter 2, 42. Arthur Just of the Concordia Seminary says in a study on this text that every single word in verse 42 is very important. Jesus is giving life to the people. After he has risen from the dead, he continually gives life to people through these acts that Christians do. It is no human thing that we are doing when we act as Christians. For God is at work in us and with us. Now, I let you think about it a little bit. How many people prefer going to church? Raise your right hand. And how many people prefer acts of service? Raise your left hand. And I got people with both hands going up. This is great. I love it. Okay, it's hard to decide, isn't it? Because when we live in the life of Jesus and the resurrection, we love to do the things that Jesus loves to do. One of the ways that Jesus gives life to people is by giving them pastors. And I want to tell you a story. A number of weeks ago, earlier this year, I got a phone call from a fellow in Princeton, New Jersey. And he said, "Pastor Velker, we have your name on a call list. And we would like to see if you're open to receiving a call." And immediately I thought, oh, I have so much to do here at Gethsemane. I'm not sure I can even afford to think about going to another church. But I said to him, okay, I'm open, because I really believe that through the call process, God blesses congregations. And as they go through them, they are blessed in many, many ways. And so are pastors blessed. And so, not wanting to say no to what the Holy Spirit might have in mind, I said, sure. They had about 10 or 12 on their list, I don't know. And I didn't expect it to go much farther. But then a couple weeks later, I got another call from him. He said, "We'd like to bring you and your wife out to Princeton, New Jersey, to see our congregation and meet with our call committee." And so I knew I had made the short list of those getting a call. Well, we were going to go just overnight. So we went and spent some time, when we got there, touring the campus of Princeton University. It's a really neat place. We got to see where Albert Einstein worked, and where we know that my favorite actor, Jimmy Stewart, was an alumnus of that university. And we took a tour with the guy who worked on the architecture board for Princeton for 42 years. And he taught us the stories of all the buildings. And it was a fascinating afternoon. And then met with the call committee in the evening and listened to what they were talking about. And the first question the call committee asked me was, why do you want to leave your current congregation? And I was shocked. I said, I don't. I don't want to leave my current congregation. I don't know where you got that idea. And then I explained to them what I just said to you, how I believe in the process of the Holy Spirit, and that I came to them not wanting to get in the way of the call process, even though I have many things that have to be done here. And so we met, and throughout the interview, I could tell that I was encouraging them. I was giving them ideas they hadn't thought of. They were giving me a perspective on Christianity and how their problems are quite different and somewhat the same as the problems that we are facing here, and how they have great blessings and gifts. Some of their members are professors at Princeton University. Some of them, they entertain field workers from Princeton, and some of them are on the staff of Westminster Choir College, which you may have heard of. And of course, that was appealing to me and Sandy as a musician. So we listened to them and we fed one another. And they took us out for supper and then we proceeded to go home. A few weeks later, the phone call came. Pastor Velker, we're just letting you know that we issued a call to one of the field workers that we had had here at Princeton. And we're seeking his approval by the Synod to get that call, because Princeton's not Missouri Synod. But we thank you, and we tell you this, we wanted you all to know that we didn't call you because you have so much that we didn't want to take you away from. Now, I want to share with you today that story because it affirmed me and Sandy and Gethsemane and that church and that pastor that they ended up calling, and I'm sure the other pastor who was on the list, he has high credentials in the synod too. It affirmed all of us. There were no losers in that process at all. And I want to affirm to you that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is constantly sending you and me affirmations, feeding, pasture, guidance, love, to build us up, to give us life. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2. They continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Now that's two things. The devotion that they had was a Greek word that means continuing on, keeping it going. And we're keeping it going. Even 2,000 years later, we're still in the apostles' teaching. That teaching, good example, what we talked about last week. When Jesus walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, he was using the scriptures to teach them all kinds of things about how the Christ had to suffer and on the third day rise again. The same thing is true of the way we gather for Bible study and for prayer, the way we hear sermons, the way we gather when somebody is sick and pray for them, the way we gather in the Word. And we learn the apostles' teaching. We don't learn about a God who is the man upstairs, but we learn about a Father who sent His Son to be the Redeemer of the world, and who gives us His Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. Now that brings about fellowship. Now, the fellowship that they shared was not a human fellowship. It was a koinonia, something God brought together. And it's something that you feel because you know it's there. It's not something that you know is there because you feel it. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we buried Dolores' mom, Jerry's sister, Norma Seeley. She was in church last Sunday, but she passed away in the middle of the week. It was very cold and rainy outside, and we didn't think we would go outside. So we said all the words in the little chapel beside the office at Victoria Memorial Gardens. And then we said that none of us would go to the grave. We would leave it optional. That the pallbearers and I would take the casket silently to the grave, which wasn't very far away. You knew that respect was there. And everybody walked to the graveside anyway. The rain stopped, and we went out. And there was enormous respect. Now, not everybody. Some were talking about things that had to happen. But you knew it was there. And because there was that respect, it created a feeling of respect and love for Norma. It wasn't something that we felt and then we knew it was there. It was something that we trusted was there, and then we began to feel it as we went. And that's how fellowship is. We trust that God has made us brothers and sisters in Christ. And that doesn't always bring about a good feeling about your fellow church member. But as we respect that word of God, that there is a koinonia, a fellowship, we begin to feel that reality is there. He also says to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's communion. It's the first term ever for communion. It's the same communion that was had at Emmaus on the walk when Jesus sat down with his disciples right before he disappeared. And it's the same breaking of bread that we do here. And the same breaking of bread that took place on the night that he was betrayed. Then it talks about the prayers. And we don't really know what form these prayers took. Collects or long intercessory prayers by women or men. We don't really know. But we know that they were praying for each other. And this was part of their life. This was their liturgy. Their worship. The apostles' teaching. The fellowship. The breaking of bread. And the prayers. Beyond that, you can see whatever other things they did. Wonders and signs. Ever see anything wonderful? Ever have any signs from God showing you what you ought to do? You don't always get them in church, but you get them out in the world. People shared things. Ever share anything with anybody? Might be because you're a Christian that you did. Selling possessions, distributing the proceeds to all. Now, they weren't communists, but they did share things in common. And day by day, they came to the temple. Day by day, they broke bread in their homes. And that may refer to communion, but probably it's just that they ate together. And they were thankful. And they were generous. And they were praising God, and everybody noticed. They were in favor with all the people. And then this wonderful thing. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now let me tell you something else. That hasn't quit. It's been going on day by day for 2,000 years. Right now it's happening mostly in China and Africa, because the churches there are growing and growing and growing. There are more Lutherans in Africa than there are in North America, and probably more Baptists and Anglicans too. But we notice this is happening over and over because God is at work. I want to encourage you to see how the life of the shepherd is coming true all around us. He says, I came not to take from you. That's the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The good shepherd is watching over us as we worship him and gather as the church. And as we go out and scatter as the church into our community with blessing and praise to God in our lives, in our homes, and in our service. You can be at peace as a Christian. You can be content with what you have. And if you are, it is because you have been taken care of by the Good Shepherd, even Jesus Christ, our Lord Himself. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we thank you that you care for your sheep. I thank you for the affirmation that I received as part of a calling process. And we thank you for the way you affirmed this congregation through that process too. We pray that you would affirm us in all the service we are doing, in all the praises we are singing, in all the scriptures we are sharing, and in all the thanksgiving we are giving. Build us up, Lord Jesus Christ, to be your flock, all under one shepherd, who has been given to us, who laid down his life for us, and rose again that we might have life. Amen. In the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.